Morning. Today's daf in the Avodah Zarah is Mem Vav. We're on Mem Hamad Beis. We're going to start today a little bit towards the top. We're going to just take one step backwards, get ourselves better acquainted, oriented with the sugya. We're discussing Mechuba LaKarka, something which is connected to the ground cannot become Avodah Zarah, cannot become a Chefsa Shel Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah yesterday on Mem Hamad Aleph introduced us to this idea. The Mishnah said that worship a mountain or a valley or anything which is connected to the ground, so that's going to be mutter, meaning the item itself that's being worshipped is not going to be a chefsa shel avodah zarah. It won't have any status of avodah zarah, and consequently it would be totally permissible. You could take that earth, that dirt, and do with it whatever you'd like. Now I say whatever you'd like. Stay tuned, we're going to maybe qualify that a little bit later this morning, but presumably you could do with it whatever you'd like. The Mishnah, let's just, for now, that's fine. And then, but the notable exception, of course, is trees. Trees are different, because trees, we have a concept called nashera, meaning what we know, that if a tree is planted for avodah zarah, so that tree now has the status of an nashera, and therefore it's a chefsa shel avodah zarah. You can't use it. You can't use it for anything, not even mitzvahs. You can't use it for your lulav, as per the third parak of sukkah. The tree is a avodah zarah status. So, why should that be? Why should trees be different? So, A, it's a pasuk in the Torah, so that's a good start. And B, it's a great start. And B, the Mishnah yesterday asked the question, Mimnei ma asher asura, why is the asherah going to be asur? Meaning it's mechub l'karka. And the Mishnah's answer is, Mimnei sheish batfisas yidei adam. Because it has human input. Human input, Rashi, on the Mishnah yesterday said, that we take the seed, we plant it in the ground. So because that is human input, therefore, it is different than anything which is organic and naturally occurring in the ground. Okay, that's the idea that we were introduced to yesterday. There was seemingly a debate between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi Aglili in the Mishnah, but if you look at the Mishnah and you look back at the two opinions, they both are saying basically the same thing. And according to Rav Sheshis, there is a subtle difference between the two of them. And that is the following. Let's say a tree was planted not for avodah zarah, and then after the tree started growing, now a person comes along and starts worshiping it as an avodah zarah. So in other words, can you have an Asherah tree become an Asherah tree after it was planted? So what Rav Sheshit suggested yesterday is that's the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi Aglili. Tanakam says no, meaning that the only time the Asherah tree will be Asher is only when it was planted as an Asherah. Otherwise, it's forever now going to be considered connected to the ground and therefore not become a Avodah Zarah. And Rav Yossi Aglili disagrees. Rav Yossi Aglili says that no, even after the tree was planted, you could worship it, and it can become an avodah zarah. One important clarification within the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili: when he says that the tree is going to become avodah zarah, he does not mean any of the tree that prior to the worship, because in other words, that you can't change that status of that portion of the tree. He's talking about the gidulim. He's talking about the growth, the new growth that comes from the tree. That new growth is going to have the status of avodah zarah.
Okay. Mizbeach, which they make, which is strongly connected to the ground, is not going to be avodah zarah.
Okay, we're going to have a discussion like that a little bit later this morning. Not exactly your question, but very similar. Okay, so let's hold off just a little bit, and now with that in mind, we are now picking it up in the Gemara. And we're going to start in the Gemara. Sorry, I had the place. There you go. But after Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. It's towards the top of Mem Hamad Beis. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The last two words in the line is Va'af Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So now the Gemara points out that, assuming that Rav Sheshis's explanation of the Machlokas is correct, Gemara now is going to make an alignment. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Savar Yilan Shenatul V'Sof Avdu Asar. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda also is of this opinion as well. The Italian, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Omer mitoch shenemar, Eloheim al heharim. The pasuk says the gods on the mountain, v'lo heharim Eloheim, but the mountains themselves cannot get a status of avodah zarah. Eloheim al gvoz, v'lo gvoz Eloheim. Shomei ani tachas kol etz ra'anan Eloheim, v'lo ra'anan Eloheim. Now, the same thing could be done with the tree, meaning the Torah says that under the etz ra'anan, which means that the tree itself cannot become an avodah zarah. At least that would seemingly be the logical progression of the psukim. So tamalomer v'ashrem tisrufun be'esh. So the Torah says ashrem tisrufun be'esh, which means that the tree can become an avodah zarah. So now, if that's true, alatachas kol etz ra'anan lamali, what am I going to do with that pasuk of tachas kol etz ra'anan, which seemingly is telling us that only under the tree is aser, but the tree itself cannot become aser. This is Rabbi Akiva that we saw yesterday in the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says, here's what the Torah is communicating to us with mountains, valleys, trees. If you see a high mountain, a large valley, a Eitz Ra'anan, I mentioned yesterday, I don't understand the adjective Ra'anan, but it's some sort of remarkable tree. But more than that, though, I can't tell you because I simply don't know. But anyway, Eitz Ra'anan, Dashi Yesh Sham Avodas Kocham, so you know that that's where the Avodah Zarah is. Meaning, according to Rabbi Kiva, what the Torah is simply doing is telling us, Marker Simanim, where can I find the Avodah Zarah? That's what the Torah is trying to communicate to us. V'rabbanan, now the Chachamim who disagree, meaning according to the Chachamim, a tree cannot become a Avodah Zarah, even after it was planted. And according to the Chachamim, the only tree that can become Aser is only a tree that was planted originally for Avodah Zarah. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, namimi bai lelachi. So now Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, he has to agree with that point. Hachanami, the Gemara says he does agree with that point. Actually, the tree that was not planted for Avodah Zarah but subsequently worshipped, he learns that from another pasuk. It comes from the pasuk of, you know what you do with the Asherah? You trim the Asherah. What do you mean, trim the Asherah? You should cut it down, destroy it. What does that mean, trim? How can you have a tree where only the limbs of the tree are going to be Asher, but the trunk of the tree is going to be mutter. So he says that's talking about the tree that was not planted for Avodah Zarah, subsequently worshipped. And as we pointed out already, the limbs, according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, the limbs are going to be aser. The Ashrayim Tisrufum Beish Kanasiv Lei Tamuda. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, it's interesting. He didn't bring that pasuk down. He brought the pasuk of Ashrayim Tisrufum Beish. So the Gemara says, okay, but the fact that he brought that pasuk down, don't get sidetracked by that. Ilu lo nemar kamar, meaning, had the Torah not used this pasuk, ilu lo nemar tisufum ba'ish, hayisu amer asherim tigadeyon be'ilon shenantum mitchil lakach, I might have thought that the pasuk of asherim tigadeyon is a reference to a tree that was originally planted for Avodah Zarah. Ha'asher dechsev asherim tisufum ba'ish, yasar leiv asherim tigadeyon le'ilon shenantum levesof avdu. But now I have two psukim describing the Asherah. Ah, so according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, it's very good. The two psukim describing the Asherah, one is for the Asherah that was planted originally for the purpose of an Asherah. That tree must be totally destroyed. That's Asherim Tisrufun Beish. And the second pasuk is talking about a tree that was not planted La Avodah Zarah, subsequently worshipped. That tree, Tigadeyun. I only need to trim the tree because only the parts that grow after worship, post-worship, only those limbs are going to be Aser. V'rabanan, Hai V'Asherim Tigadeyun Mai Avdilei. Now, according to the Chachamim, there is no need for two psukim, because according to the Chachamim, there's only one Asherah, the one that's planted, L'Shem Avodah Zarah. So what are they going to do with the two psukim? So the Gemara says, L'Chad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Yeshua ben Levi, Gidui Avodah Kochavim, Kodmim L'Kivash Eretz Yisrael. And Kivash Eretz Yisrael, Kodmim L'Bir Avodah Kochavim. So over here, what he does with these two psukim is basically, he gets an order of operations in terms of going into Eretz Yisrael. When we go into Eretz Yisrael, two things need to happen. And again, this is before the king and destruction of Amalek and building of the Beis HaMikdash. But the most basic things that need to be done are kibush, got to conquer the land, and two, you got to destroy the Avodah Zarah. What is the correct order of operations? So the Gemara goes on to explain the current of Yeshua ben Levi. Here's what we do. The first thing you do is gidu avodas kocham kodem l'kibush. So first thing you got to do is you got to cut down those trees. In other words, all those Asherah trees, you got to cut them down. You got to cut them down before you conquer. Okay, and then you conquer. Kibush Eretz Yisrael Kodem L'Bir Avodas Kochavim. And then after you conquer, then you're going to totally destroy the Avodah Zarah. So in other words, cut trees, conquer, and then destroy the Avodah Zarah. Didni Rav Yosef v'nitatzem es mezbechosam v'hanach v'shibartem es matzvasam v'hanach. Following the instructions in Parshas Re'eh, we're going to take their altars that they use for Avodah Zarah, and we're going to disassemble them and just leave it. And we're going to take their matseva, and we're going to break it, and we're going to leave it. And the Gemara like recoils. What do you mean vahanach? Vahanach zavkadavcha? What do you mean? And you're just going to leave it there? Meaning that's a avodah zarah. So sreifa bayi. You have to burn it. You have to destroy it. Amar avuna redofa achar kach srof. It means like this. Again, it's a two-step process. Step number one: Just break it apart. Then we go to war, and then after the war is over, then we're going to go back and we're going to incinerate it. Okay. Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Isfar Menale.
The roots.
Ah, right. Okay, it's coming up. So, Hai Svar Menale. So the Gemara says now, according to Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, who again now, he doesn't have these two psukim for order of operations, because according to Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, the two psukim are there to teach me about two different types of Asherah. So how does he know about order of operations? Hai Svar Menale, Nafkalei, Me'avei Tavdun, Avei V'achakach Tavdun. The Abet Abdun is telling me this double step, this two-step of, first, a rudimentary destruction of the Avodah Zarah, then go to war, and then totally destroy the Avodah Zarah. Now, according to the Chachamim, no. The Abet Abdun is telling me that when I'm uprooting the Avodah Zarah, I have to not just take the superficial Avodah Zarah, but l'sharish achra, I have to go down and dig up its roots as well. Meaning if it's a tree, you gotta dig up the roots. If the mizbech is in the ground, you gotta dig that up as well. And as far as uprooting, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda agrees, though, you also have to uproot. But he learns it from a different pasuk of ivadatem es shemam. Meaning there can be no trace of the Avodah Zarah. No name of the Avodah Zarah. The only way that we're totally taking out the name is not just by superficially removing the Avodah Zarah, but digging after it as well. Now, v'rabbanan, what are the Chachamim going to do with that pasuk? Ahu l'chanos l'shem. No, that pasuk over there is telling me another halacha, and that is kinui. You have to come up with a nickname, right? The Gemara's in Bava Metzia, when talking about, Onaz Devarim, when talking about verbally abusing, the Isra, I should say, of verbally abusing somebody. So one of the Isra of verbal abuse is kinui. Meaning if you're coming up with a pejorative nickname for your friend, so if you're coming up with a pejorative nickname for your friend, so that's a violation of Onaz Devarim. So over here, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so we go in the other direction. We are not only allowed, we're encouraged to come up with kinuyim when it comes to Avodah Zarah. According to Rabbi Lazar, the pasuk of Ibaratam Hashemam is the source that tells me that I have to uproot the Avodah Zarah. Amrul Rabbi Kiba, we turn now to the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Rabbi Kiba's response is, Valok Far Namra Beit Abdun. No, uprooting the Avodah Zarah comes from the pasuk of Abet Abdun. Imke Matam Lomer V'Ibaratam Hashemam, Min HaMakom Ahu, L'Chanus L'Hashem. The Ibaratam pasuk is telling me that I have to come up with a kinui. I have to come up with a pejorative nickname for the Avodah Zarah. Yachol Shvach. Now, nickname can go in either direction. Nicknames can be pejorative. Nicknames could also be complimentary. So the Shvach Zalkadach, now the Gemara says, what Havamina did you just have? You had a Havamina that in the nickname that should be given to the Avodah Zarah should be something which is a Shevach, a praise to the Avodah Zarah. As a Havamina, how could you have even entertained that? Ela Yachol Lo Shvach Velo L'Ganai. So the Gemara says, well, maybe no nickname, meaning the Havamina would have been, just call the Avodah Zarah by its name. So, Tam Lomar Shaketz Shaktsun V'Taitz Tavun Ki Cherem Hu. So the Gemara says, no, but the Torah is telling us that no, there is a nickname, that's V'Ibadat HaMishma, meaning don't call it by its proper name, but call it by a nickname, call it by its nickname, and more than that, Shaketz Shaktsun. It's got to be a pejorative nickname. Haketza? The Gemara is going to give us a number of examples. Hayikorin Oso Beis Galia, Korin Oso Beis Karya. So the Avodah Zarah of Beis Galia, so you've referred to as Beis Karya. Karya, the something that's dug in the ground, something that's low. Okay, in other words, something pejorative. Ayin Kol, Ayin Kotz. The Avodah Zarah that's referred to as Ayin Kol, so you call it Ayin Kotz. It's like a thorn in its own side. Okay, so various nicknames that one can offer to the Avodah Zarah. Kenitana coming to Rav Sheshes. Okay. Akan, that really takes us to the end of the sugya. So in terms of the Asherah, is there one Asherah or there are two Asherahs? So it's a machlokas tanaim. Meaning one possibility is that for the Asherah, an Asherah that is planted l'shem Asherah, according to everybody, has the status of Asherah. That's what the Mishnah describes as having a tfisas yide adam, that has human input, and such a tree is absolutely going to be an Avodah Zarah. The entire tree is also ba'ana. What if the tree was not planted in Avodah Zarah and subsequently worshipped? So a machlokas tanayim, how to treat such a tree, and specifically the growth, the post-worship growth of that tree. According to the opinions of Rav Yosi Glili and Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, those parts of the tree require destruction, meaning that's Ashrem Tigad Deun, that's the pasuk in the Torah, and according to the Chachamim, no. In other words, that tree is just simply grounded, it's impervious to becoming a Chavtza Shel Avodah Zarah. And then, the rest of the Sugya was basically like a fallout of what is each Tana going to do with the other Tana in Sukkim. You know, and the traditional back and forth the Gemara goes through. Where Mem Vav Amud Aleph were about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, Tini Tana Kama Rav Sheshes, the Gemara now entertains the following. It's a brisa that was taught over in front of Rav Sheshes. Ha'okam ha'ovdim es'arim v'esakvos min ha'in mutarim v'ovdim b'sayif. V'esazraim v'esirakos ha'in asurim v'ovdim b'sayif. Let's say you have a non-Jew. Now, as we know, when it comes to a non-Jew, there are seven laws that apply to a non-Jew. The Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, one of them, of course, is Avodah Zarah. We know that any time a Akum violates any one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, when I say anyone, by the way, Dinim may be its own category, may be compartmentalized. That's a Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas Rambam Ramban, but anyway. But let's keep it simple. In other words, when you're violating the negative prohibitions of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, there are six of them. So the punishment is all the same. It's all Misa B'dei Adam, it's capital punishment. And specifically, Sayef, it's decapitation. So when you have an Ove Kochav worshipping Avodah Zarah intentionally, so then there is going to be, the subject to, they need to try and convict the person to Sayef. So here the Braisa talks about a non-Jew worshipping a mountain, a non-Jew worshipping a valley. So the mountain and the valley is Mutter, as per yesterday's Daf, and Ovdehem B'Sayef. But the one who is worshipping it is going to be subject to the death penalty. That says Ryan versus Yerakos and it's involved in Besayef. Now, if they're worshipping vegetation, so then it's a movable item, therefore, the item that was worshipped has the status of Avodah Zarah, and the person who worships is subject to Sayef. Now, this Gemara should sound familiar because yesterday we made reference to this Gemara. And yesterday's stuff, we noted Rashi back on the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah says it's an interesting result. Meaning that when you're Ovid Avodah Zarah and the item that you worship does not become a Chavtza Shel Avodah Zarah, you're still considered worshipping Avodah Zarah, even though the mountain, the valley, and in some cases the tree, is not going to become Avodah Zarah. And Rashi noted that. What about if you offered something, a Takrovis Avodah Zarah? What if you actually sacrificed an animal to the mountain? So Rashi yesterday said, that too is going to have status of Takrovis Avodah Zarah, even though the mountain itself is not an Avodah Zarah. So, according to Rashi, it's a really interesting division of the halacha, where your act is considered Avodah Zarah, even though it doesn't net result in an item becoming an Avodah Zarah. Okay. And I didn't go through this yesterday, but if you take a look at the long Tosos, the first Tosos in yesterday's Amud, on Mem Ham and Aleph, so Tosos takes issue with Rashi, and he quotes Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam doesn't agree with Rashi, but anyway, that's Rashi's opinion. And Rashi really gets it from our Gemara that we just learned together.
No, not mechuber.
Right. Oh. That's why they're also.
So the same thing would apply with a tree that's not mechuber. Anything.
Oh, right. Right. Now the Gemara is just making a contrast between the land and the vegetation that the land produces.
But this one is for if an Akum does it, and the other one was Rashi saying was.
Rashi is assuming the same. The Mishnah's topic happens to be a non-Jew worshipping. Presumably, the same thing would be true if a Jew worshipped. Presumably. Amalei damalachmani Rav Yosef Rav Yehudi damar ilan shenatul v'sof avdu aser so v'lukma be'ilan shenatul mitchila lekach v'rabanan. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. The assumption over here is that when we're talking about vegetation, it's not necessarily just talking about vegetation that was cut off. Actually, it's talking about vegetation that's still connected to the ground, and the author of the Brice is Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, because again, according to Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, you could worship a tree, and in this case, vegetation, same idea, and the new growth is going to be Aser. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Why not suggest that the Brice is going like the opinion of the Chachamim, and the tree in question over here, the vegetation in question over here, was planted l'shem Avodah Zarah. Lo sakadach, the Gemara says, nah. I'm not going to say that as pshat in the Braisa, diktani dum yidahar, because the Braisa over here compares it to a mountain. Mahar shalonatum mitchil lakach, afhai nami shalonatum mitchil lakach. Just like a mountain was not planted originally for a Avodah Zarah, so too the tree in question over here was not planted originally for a Avodah Zarah. Okay, so the better way to say, the easier way to say that Braisa is going like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Itmar. Okay, we have now established time and again through yesterday's daf and today's daf, that if you worship anything that's mechubal karka, it does not take on the status of avodah zarah. You're going to be an ovid avodah zarah, but the mountain or anything that's grounded is not a chefsa shel avodah zarah. Question asked the Gemara. Avne harshin edaldu. Let's say you have a mountain that was worshipped, and then a stone on that mountain becomes dislodged. Rashi raish nedaldalu nekru me'alehem vishtachva akum lahem. So in other words, what happened over here is that the stone dislodged on its own, okay, and then you had a non-Jew worship that stone that becomes dislodged on its own. So it's still, let's think about the stone now. It's still an organic product. It's still something that comes from the ground. And remember, what was the big difference between a tree and a mountain? A tree has, what the Gemara described yesterday as, tfisas yedei adam, human input. This stone, even though it's no longer connected to the ground, it's dislodged from the ground, but it has no human input. In other words, it came up on its own. So on one hand, it's an organic material that had no human input. On the other hand, it's detached from the ground. So if I have now a non-Jew worshipping it, does it get a avodah zarah status? Is it asur b'hana? B'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara brings a machlokus between the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Now just remember, because this will come up later on, the sons of Rabbi Chiya are Yehuda and Chizkiyahu. Okay, I know that because of Rashi. And you'll see a little bit later on as well. So the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan argue on this point. Chanamar Suz v'chanamar Mutaras. At this point, we don't know which one says which, but one says it's also, the other says it's mutar. My time and demand amu mutaros. So the one that says mutar, the Gemara gives a very simple svara. Kehar, mahar shein bo tfisas yedi adam, umutar afani shein bo tfisas yedi adam, umutare. It's organic. No human input was put into the stone. Yes, it becomes dislodged from the mountain. In other words, there was some sort of rock fall. But no human did that. It happened on its own. It's organic. And therefore, it's not going to be subject to avodah zarah. It's still something which is, you know, still fits under the category of mechubal karka. Mechubar. The Gemara says, but I don't understand. Although I kind of understand the comparison, but when sof kol sof, when all said and done, it's not connected to the ground. It's detached from the ground. It's dislodged. So how can you compare it to the mountain? So behema tochiach. So the Gemara says, well, you know, worship a live animal. I mean, I'm not suggesting. But when a person worships a live animal, do you know what the result is? The animal is not a chefsa shel avodah zarah. Now, to be clear, if you offer an animal to avodah zarah, that's what's called tekorvus avodah zarah. That animal, the carcass of the animal, is asur b'hana. We're talking about treating the animal like a god, giving it a deified power. Worship, right? Right? There's a country that does that. So, worshiping the actual animal itself, yeah. So, the animal is not a chefza shel avodah zarah. It does not get the status of avodah zarah. For reasons which we're going to articulate later on. But, why don't I just say it now? Rashi over here writes, how do I know that this is so? So Rashi says it's based on a Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama on Daf Mem says that an animal that's worshipped cannot be used on the Mizbech as a karban. That's the only limitation that you have for an animal that's worshipped. Meaning, but short of that, you can use the animal for whatever you want. You want a shechta, you want to eat it for dinner, that's fine. But in other words, you can't use it on the mizbech, pasnisht. It's just inappropriate to use on the mizbech. I say pasnisht. The Gemara learns it out from a drasha. But in other words, but that's its only limitation. But in other words, it's not a chefza shel avodah zarah. So. No. Well, that's going to be the Gemara's exact point. So behema tochiach. So look at the animal. The animal's not connected to the ground, and yet, it's not going to be avodah zarah. So in other words, isn't this stone going to be more like the behema? So mala behema shekein balas chayim. The Gemara says, okay, but you're comparing an animate object with an inanimate object. I don't understand. So the Gemara says, har yochiach v'chazer den lo rizek rizeh v'lo rizek rizeh ha'atzad ha'shav v'shabem shein ben tfisus yedei adam amutar av kol shein ben tfisus yedei adam amutar. Okay, so the Gemara says, we're going to use now the classic approach of ma'atzad. We're going to use the common denominator of the mountain and the animal. So on one hand, a dislodged stone is not like a mountain because it's detached. It's not like an animal because it's inanimate as opposed to animate. But if I take an animal and a mountain, and I put them together, and I extract the common denominator between the two, so then the result is that a stone, which does at least share some commonality between these two, so therefore is going to also be the same, meaning not a chefza shel avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, "Malat zara shavu shabem shekain lo nishana mebiyasa." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but they haven't undergone any kind of change whatsoever. Meaning, an animal is always the same animal. Now, it's true, by the way, the animal does develop and grow, but okay, that part's true. But still, in other words, the animal is generally speaking the same thing, and the same thing is true regarding a mountain. A mountain doesn't change, but a stone that gets dislodged from the mountain, it's no longer part of the mountain. It's now a new entity." So the Gemara says, okay, so basically what we'll do is we will construct the same construct of using the commonality, but we'll talk about an animal that's a balmum. An animal that's a balmum, a blemished animal. So it did undergo a change. In other words, it went from a non-blemished animal to a blemished animal, and yet, if it's worshipped, it's not going to be a chefzah shel avodah zarah. I take that animal, I put it together with a mountain, I extract the common denominator between the two, and the dislodged rock of the mountain is not going to be avodah zarah. Inami mi behema tama mi ilan yavesh. Or, again, same construct, I'm going to put together side by side a mountain and an animal, and over here, instead of a mountain, we're going to use a tree, and instead of a tree, we're going to use an old tree. An old tree, a dry withered tree, it did undergo a shinui, and again, so did the dislodged stone, and from this common denominator, the tzad hashava, so the dislodged stone is going to be not an avodah zarah. Umanda asar, now, obviously, that only explains one opinion. The dislodged stone not being an avodah zarah is one of the two opinions, either belonging to Rav Yochanan or the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. What about the other side? So the Gemara says, look, what you're doing over here is you're using din. You're using methodology. Right? The Yudim Omidos. It's Tzad HaShaveh. So that's what we call Binyanav Mishnei Ksuvim. Right? We're extracting a halacha using Binyanav. Throughout all of Shas, that's not only legitimate, that's the way we're supposed to learn the Torah. That's the methodology of the Torah. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, Shaketz Shaktsun, meaning we have to have such a loathe, a detesting of the Avodah Zarah, that even if I have an opportunity to use the Yudim Omidos Shatar Nejeshas Bahem, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we shouldn't. And therefore, even though you're right, the Binyanav would have arrived at this conclusion, for Avodah Zarah, we don't allow it to arrive at this conclusion. So it's super interesting, meaning, and how exactly does this work? Meaning, what's the underpinning of this idea? That the Yud Gimel Midos are there and available for us to use, but for Avodah Zarah, no, we shouldn't use them. So it's such an interesting idea. Tistayim. Continues the Gemara 1. Mem Vavam and Aleph, we're towards the bottom now. Two lines before the lines get wide. Tistayim Debnei Rabbi Chia Desharu Debai Chisk. I'm sorry. Tistayim Debnei Rabbi Chia Desharu. Now, when originally presented to us, the stone that is dislodged from the mountain, subsequently worshipped by a guy, is it an Avodah Zarah, is it not an Avodah Zarah? So we have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and the Bnei Rabbi Chiya, and right now we don't know, when presented, who said which position. Tistayim, the Gemara now, is suggesting that the Bnei Rabbi Chiya Sharu. It is the sons of Rabbi Chiya that permitted. Now remember, the sons of Rabbi Chiya are Yehuda and Chizkiel. Debai Chizkiel, Chizkiel asked the following question, and he is a son of Rabbi Chiya. And the question that he asks is, Zakev Beitza Lishtachavos La'amau. Let's say you take an egg, and you stand the egg up. I know it's always tricky because, you know, it doesn't allow it to stand up. But in other words, you prop it up. So Zakeh Beitza Lishtachavos La'amau. So you prop the egg up in order to worship the egg. What would be the halacha? Kasakadach Lishtachavos La'avishtachavala. Now, his question, we're not really sure what his question was. So the Gemara now is putting together what they think is the question of Chizkiah. So they think that they propped it up to worship and it was actually worshiped. And the question is whether or not propping up is considered a maisa or not considered a maisa. But if it wasn't propped up, it cannot become an avodah zarah. And so therefore, follow the Gemara's thought process right now. The egg is like a dislodged rock from a mountain. I know it's a strange comparison, but again, it's a similar idea. Meaning that we know that the mountain itself is impervious to Avodah Zarah. It cannot become Avodah Zarah. The dislodged rock of that mountain, though, although now detached, still is organic in nature, and therefore cannot become Avodah Zarah. We know the chicken I know it's funny, but it's right. I see the Gemara's logic over here. The chicken is also impervious to avodah zarah. It's a live animal. A live animal cannot become a chefster shel avodah zarah. And so when it lays an egg, that's like the dislodged rock of the mountain. And so therefore, in its organic state, it cannot become avodah zarah. And now, if all this is right, now what Chizkiyah is asking is, but if I prop it up, so is that now considered enough human input where now it's no longer considered an organic matter and therefore subject to becoming a avodah zarah? That is what we think what Chizkiyah was asking. And the Gemara says, well, the Gemara says, no, that's not necessarily so. La'olam im l'cha b'nei Rebbi Chiya, de'asrei, de'ishtachava la. Sorry, what do I do here? The asrei vihishtachavala afagavdol zafka asura. Now the Gemara says no. If it was bowed down to, even though if it wasn't propped up, it's going to be asur. Over here, we're not talking about where it was actually worshipped. We're talking about where it was set up to be worshipped. And now the Gemara's question is the following question: it wasn't actually worshipped yet, but it was propped up to be worshipped. Ulaman. Ilaman damar vodeskocham shal Yisrael asura miyad. Asura. So the Gemara says, well, if it's the avodah zarah that belongs to Yisrael, it becomes asur immediately. Meaning, we will be learning a little bit of time from now. When does an item get the status of an avodah zarah? So as we're going to be learning later on, it depends whether the avodah zarah is owned by a Jew or non-Jew. So when it comes to a Jew, it becomes asur immediately. Meaning when designated as an avodah zarah. And ilaman dama achiteaved halopacha. And if you take the position where it only becomes an avodah zarah when it's actually worshipped, but over here propping the egg up it hasn't yet been worshipped. So lo tzricha kagon shezakav beitza liishtachav asla v'lo ishtachav ala uba ovekocham v'ishtachav ala. Gemara's question over here is the following: the Jew propped it up. Along comes a non-Jew, sees now the egg in the vertical position, all set up, and the non-Jew comes along and bows down to it. So if we have a Jew take a brick and put it vertical, and along comes a non-Jew and worships it, it will be asur. And the Gemara's question is as follows: look, we know when it comes to something like a brick, where if I take it and I move it to its vertical position, that is a clear demonstration that I'd like to set it up as an avodah zarah. And so since it's a clear demonstration, the moment that somebody comes along and worships it, it now becomes a chatzar shel avodah zarah. Do we say the same thing regarding an egg? Is it going to be that evident that the egg was put on its vertical so that it can be worshipped as an avodah zarah? So subsequently, if a non-Jew comes along and worships it, it's going to be a chatzar shel avodah zarah. The Gemara says that could be what Chizkiyah is entertaining, not the question of if the egg is considered an organic material, just like the stone that gets dislodged on the mountain is considered an organic material with no human input. And if this is the question, so the Gemara says, so we no longer can conclude that Chizkiyah was the one who was being matir, the stone that was dislodged. Okay, so quick recap. Question the Gemara is entertaining is that this idea of something that's connected to the ground is impervious to avodah zarah. Will it also include things that were connected to the ground but naturally, organically becomes detached from the ground, not with human intervention? Can an item like that still maintain its immunity to avodah zarah? So the Gemara brings down a machlokas on this issue and a question of whether we do make a binyan av from those things with immunity, meaning a mountain and an animal have immunity to becoming a avodah zarah. So can I use the binyan av mishnei ksuvim and apply to the stone that was dislodged? Some say yes, some say no, and the Gemara leaves off with a question with the question being unanswered.
What about the concept of a kinyan? You're making a kinyan with that stone, you've changed its status. So
no, but the Gemara is entertaining with the question where the stone comes dislodged on its own.
No, I'm talking about propping up.
The kinyan over here is not the operating principle. In other words, the principle is when something becomes an avodah zarah, at what point does it get the status? When it's set up as an avodah zarah, it has to actually be worshipped. And again, when we get to Daf Nun Aleph, we're going to see that machlokas inside. He just propped it up. But again, the kinyan over here is not the issue. The issue is, when does it become a chefs shel avodah zarah? Vayn Rami Bar Chama, next discussion of the Gemara. Hamishtachave lahar. So let's say you worship a mountain. So again, just the operating principle, again and again throughout these Gemaras, is that the mountain, it has a certain immunity. It cannot become an avodah zarah. Again, go back to the Mishnah, yesterday's daf. It's based on one of two psukim. One pasuk says, Lo sachma kesef azav alehem. The gold and silver on the mountain is going to be asr, but the mountain itself is not asr. Or, Eloheim al haharim, velo haharim Eloheim. Right? The gods on the mountain, but the mountains themselves do not become an avodah zarah. So, mountains are immune to avodah zarah. That's the starting point. Right. Well, maybe that's the other direction, but yes. That's going the other way. So, Mishachav Alahar. So you bow down to the mountain. Avan of Maul Mizbeach. Can I take the stones and can I use it for the Mizbeach? Now remember, just a moment ago we talked about this idea regarding an animal. An animal that was prayed to as a god, that was worshipped as a god. So such an animal is mutter, meaning it doesn't get Avodah Zarah status, and at the same time we also know it can't be offered on the Mizbeach. Dakrovus Avodah Zarah, it's going to be mutter lehejot, but asr legavoa. So over here, it's a similar idea. It's not exactly the same, but a very similar idea that the Gemara right now is entertaining, that when we say that the mountain becomes impervious to avodah zarah, it's immune to becoming avodah zarah, is that like a full immunity? Or is it kind of like the animal that was worshipped, where although the animal is not a chefzah shel avodah zarah, but you can't offer it on the mizbeach, here by the mountain, like I can't use now the rocks of such mountain for the Mizbeach, or maybe I can. Basically, what the Gemara over here is investigating is, when we're talking about this immunity to Avodah Zarah, how immune is it to Avodah Zarah? So, Ma'ol Mizbeach. So, Yesh Ne'evad B'mechubar Eitzel Gavoa, O Ein Ne'evad B'mechubar Eitzel Gavoa. Really, what the Gemara says is, look, the question can really be broken down into two parts. Part one is, let's say, offering something on the Mizbeach. Now, what is coming from the ground that can be offered on the Mizbeach? Well, that's very easy. I don't know about very easy, but you know, that we can come up with a couple of suggestions. And we're going to see this in tomorrow's daf. Let's say, for example, the mountain... Oh, you're right. You got one of the examples. Let's say the mountain produces vegetation, flour, right? Wheat. And then now you want to offer that wheat as a carbon mincha. All right. Or let's say the mountain has a natural water source. And now I want to take that water and use it on the Mizbeach, i.e. Nisuch HaMayim, that's offered on Sukkos. So in other words, one part of the question is, this mountain is worshipped. Can I take the yield of that mountain and use it now on the Mizbeach? That's part one of the question. But part two of the question, well, I'm sorry, let me first read part one. Yesh nevah b'mechub reitzel gavoa, yesh nevah b'mechub reitzel gavoa. And im tim salama yesh nevah b'mechub reitzel gavoa. So the Gemara says, okay. And let's even assume that I can take the yield of the mountain and bring it on the Mizbeach. But what about taking the mountain itself and making a Mizbeach out of it? Machshiri carbon ka carbon dami. Im tim salama yesh neva b'mechubar, it's a gavol machshiri carbon ka carbon dami alone. What about machshiri carbon? When the Gemara here talks about machshiri carbon, it's basically, what is facilitating the carbon? Obviously, what's facilitating the carbon is the actual Mizbeach itself. Without a Mizbeach, you can't offer carbon. So the Machshire carbon, so are we going to say the same thing? Can I take the mountain, meaning the stones and the earth of the mountain, and can I make a Mizbeach using the materials of this mountain? The Gemara says that's the question. It's a Gavon Machshire carbon, Kekarbon Dami, Olam. Amar Rav Kavachomer. So now, this is what is under consideration. Rava says, well, let's use now a logical argument. Or really, by the way, in today's daf, we're making good use of Yigim Omidos. Right? We talked about Binyanav Mishnei Suvam and Amud Aleph, and now in the Amud Beis, we're talking about Kavachomer. So Uma. So let's start off with the following Esnan. Now, we all know what the Esnan is, but let's just be very clear. Nowhere in the Torah does the Torah endorse, condone the prostitution. But if you have a woman who is engaged in such an activity, in such a business, so let's say she's paid in an animal, right, for her services rendered. That animal, says the Torah, cannot be used as a carbon lemizbeach, even though she can benefit from the animal. Obviously, in other words, it's wholly inappropriate that, you know, she's engaged in this kind of this lifestyle and this kind of behavior. But she can use the animal for her own personal benefit. But the animal cannot be used as a carbon lemizbeach. Right, esnan asra Torah. The Torah prohibited the esnan to be used. Right, esnan zona umechir kalev. Both the you have the pasuk here. I'm sure you do. Yeah. Okay. The pasuk is in Dvarim Perachav Gimel. It's in Parshas Kiseitze. Lo savi esnan zona mechir kalev beis Hashem lakecha lechol neder kiso avas Hashem lakecha gam shnehem. The Torah says that both the services, the payment of the zona that you receive for services, and also Mechir Kelev, the sale of a dog. Sale of a dog is interesting. What exactly is wrong with selling a dog? And the proceeds of that sale? Okay, not for now. But right now we're focusing on the Esnan Zona. So that's the starting point of this discussion. So now Rava says, let's construct the following Kavachomer. Uma Esnan Shemuta Betalush Lehejo. Now, let's say she got paid in something that was detached from the ground. Let's say like an animal. So it's mutla hajo, okay, meaning that she can benefit from it, others can benefit from it. There's no isser regarding such an animal. Aser b'mechubar legavoa. Now, let's say, instead of getting paid in something that was detached, let's say she got paid with something which is connected to the ground. I know it's strange, but she got, let's say, a small apartment for services rendered. Okay, mm-hmm. It's unusual, but maybe not so unusual. Anyway, what the point is, that is aser legavoa. She can't donate that to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash cannot take that as a donation. How do I know that? Because you read the pasuk. Lo savi esan zona mechir kelev, lo shna talof lo shna mechubar. So it doesn't matter whether it's attached or detached. Whatever she receives as payments for services rendered cannot be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, neither in the form of a karban nor in the form of a donation. Okay, so that's our starting point for the kal v'chomer in esnan. Nevad she'asa betalos lehejot. So now I have something which is worshipped. If it's an item which was detached and worshipped, what do we know about that item? It's aser behana for everybody. Nobody can get benefit from it. Eino din she'asa b'mechuber legavawa. So now that we know that when something is worshipped, its starting point is that it's more aser than that of an esnan. So now using a simple kal v'chomer, if the esnan whose when attached or detached cannot be offered to the Beis HaMikdash as either a karban or a donation for the Beis HaMikdash, so if something is worshipped and it's detached, it's a given. It's also a bana for everybody. And if it's attached, so at least it should be also to the Beis HaMikdash for any use of the Beis HaMikdash. That is the kal v'chomer Rava. Okay. Amli Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yishua LaRava Ochiluf. Now, the Gemara over here is going to propose something which is super interesting. And that is, well, why don't we take the kal v'chomer and go in the other direction? Now, if we're going to take the kal v'chomer and go in the other direction, that means that we're going to use a kal v'chomer to come up with a kula, with a leniency. Okay? Almost unprecedented what the Gemara now is suggesting, but the Gemara is suggesting, in fact, that. And let's see now the kal v'chomer go in the other direction. So now let's start off with nevad, something that was worshipped where? If it's detached, we know, of course, that it is prohibited to everybody. Mutar b'mechubar legavoa. And let's say, because again, this is the area of unknown. Let's say that if it was attached, it would be permitted not only for you and me, but it'd be permitted for the Beis HaMikdash. And how do I know that? Shenemar Eloheim Alaharim V'lo Aharim Eloheim Lo Shna Lejev V'lo Shna Legavoa. In fact, the Torah says that a mountain, anything that's attached to the ground, is impervious to Avodah Zarah. So in other words, maybe the starting point should be like this. Nevad is for, a Nevad of Mechubar is Mutter. Mutter across the board. For you and me, and even for the Beis HaMikdash. Esnan Shem Mutter B'talosh Lehejot, Eino Din Shem Mutter B'Mechubar LeGavoa. And maybe, as it relates to now the Esnan, maybe we could say, look, by the Esnan, where it is, it's more Mako, meaning because the Esnan is Mutter to you and me, so maybe if it's Mechubar, you can even donate the Esnan. Meaning, The Zona received a house as payment for her services. Maybe she can give that house to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara says, now I know what you're thinking. Meaning, can that really be a reasonable conclusion? The Pasuk says, Esnan Zona, Lo Savi Esnan Zona Mechir Kelev. And the Torah goes on to say, Mechir Kelev, Beis Hashem Lokecha. You can't bring it to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which, again, simple pshat would mean that if she received an animal, it can't be brought. If she received a house, it can't. I know you're not actually walking the house over. But in other words, the house cannot be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, that doesn't bother me. In terms of what we're going to do with that phrase, we'll do the following. Beis Hashem Lokecha, Prat Lepar, Shein Abba Labayis, Divrei Rebbe Elazar. Beis Hashem Lokecha means that you can't use a prostitute's earnings for anything in the Beis HaMikdash proper. But what about something that is, on one hand, for temple service, but not in the Beis HaMikdash? What I'm describing is the Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma is, on one hand, obviously part of temple service, but not in the Beis HaMikdash proper. It's done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Most unusual, by the way, that the Zona got paid for her services with a red heifer, with a perfect red heifer. And then she says, you know what? She goes over to the Beis HaMikdash, here, take it. Right? It's my donation. Even though historically there are only 10 of them. Okay, but she wants to be the proud donator of one of 10 historical paradumas. Anyway, point being, it's that would be excluded because Beis Hashem Lokecha. The only thing that is barred is when she's offering it for the actual Beis HaMikdash proper. Chachamim omer l'rabo says a rikuyim. And the Chachamim go in the other direction. No. What she can't do is the following. Let's say she gets gold as payment for her services, and she goes to the Beis HaMikdash and says, look, I know that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is plated with gold. The interior of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is plated with gold. Now, that's not part of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's merely ornamental, but still, it's Noi Beis HaMikdash, and according to the Chachamim, she can offer that to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's included in Beis HaShem Lokecha. Correct. She knows. So now, what the Gemara is proposing, here's the proposal on the table. What's really interesting is that let's take a Kal V'Chomer, and let's arrive at a Kula from the Kal V'Chomer, not a Chomra. And the Gemara, basic premise is, Amar Lei, says back then, this is Rava, who was the original proposal of the Kal V'Chomer. Ana Kamin Al Chomer V'At Amart L'Kula. I'm saying that we're making a Kal V'Chomer, and I'm going to the stringency side. You want to make a Kal V'Chomer, and you want to create a leniency. Kula v'chumra, l'chumra parchinan. When you have two directions where you can go with a kal v'chumra, one is to the side of leniency and the other is to the side of stringency, you go in the direction of a chumra. The Gemara over here, uses the word parchinan, but parchinan, Rashi says over here, does not mean what it normally means. The word pircha, throughout the Gemara, means a question. Over here, Rashi explains the word pircha means an actual kal v'chumra. Meaning, because a kal v'chumra is always voiced in a question, so sometimes the kal v'chumra itself is referred to as the pircha. So over here, when we have a kal v'chomer, we go in the direction of chomra. That's the direction kal v'chomers are to be taken, not into the direction of a kula. Tomorrow, where we'll begin, is the Gemara wonders if this is always going to be true. There may be an incident where this is not true, but that, of course, is a general rule, and Rebbe feels that this kal v'chomer is good. Okay, the topics that we cover today, is there one type of asherah, two types of asherah? The one that's planted l'shem asherah is for sure an asherah. The one that's not planted l'shem asher but subsequently worshipped, yes or no, machlokas tanaim. Second big issue that we covered today is that if I have a stone that is dislodged from a mountain, although the mountain is immune to avodah zarah, the naturally dislodged stone, is that also going to be immune to avodah zarah? Machlokas amongst the Amorayim, late tanaim, if you will, the sons of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yochanan, no, Amorayim. And then finally, the last question that we discussed today is that when you worship a mountain, even though it is not a chefzah shel avodah zarah, and it's mutar ba'ana, can it be used for the purposes of Beis HaMikdash? Meaning, really, it's a two-part question. Can I use the yield of that mountain for the Beis HaMikdash, right? The water and the grain that it produces. And can I use the actual material of the mountain for the Mizbeach? Those are the questions on the table. Rava through a Kal V'Chomer says the answer is no, you cannot. Just like by an Esnan. I cannot use it for the Beis HaMikdash. So too, the Nevad HaMechubel HaKarka cannot be used for the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's Mutar B'Anah. That's where we stand right now. We'll pick it up tomorrow.